As Max mentioned, we're doing a sermon series on the lessons from Isaiah that come to us during Advent this year. The first Sunday of Advent, we heard Isaiah's vision of the word of the Lord going forth into all the earth, and the peoples beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and peace among nations. The second week gave us another passage, the vision that the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the little children shall be safe, even around the nests of poisonous snakes. Followed by the beautiful idea that they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And last week, we had the good fortune to hear the bishop speak on Isaiah's words that the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Isaiah is full of these poetic passages describing what the reign of God would be like, and many of them are quoted in the New Testament. The passage we heard this morning is a little different. It's in the lectionary today because it's quoted in the gospel lesson from Matthew, but by itself, it is a little confusing. We're coming in on the middle of a conversation between Isaiah and a king named Ahaz. Now, Ahaz was not a very wise king, and he lived during a difficult time. His city was under siege by two neighboring countries. He was kind of freaking out about that, and Isaiah was called to give him some advice. If we had started reading a few verses earlier, we would have heard the advice Isaiah gave him, which was this: take heed, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two and their fierce anger. And then Isaiah points to a woman who is with child and says, the child will be given the symbolic name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And he predicts correctly that by the time the child is weaned, the two kings that Ahaz dreads will be defeated and the siege will end. Ahaz didn't listen to Isaiah and got himself and his country into even more trouble by not trusting God, but that's another story. What struck me as I was reading these passages for today and from the last few weeks was the repetition of the instruction, do not be afraid, God is with you. Isaiah says it to Ahaz, and it was in last week's Isaiah lesson too. Say to those of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. The angel who appears to Joseph in a dream tells him, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, and quotes this passage from Isaiah about Emmanuel, God is with us. In the nativity stories in Luke's gospel, it is the first thing the angel who visits Zechariah in the temple says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And Gabriel says it to Mary at the Annunciation, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I did a quick search and found dozens of other places in the Bible with some version of this instruction. Do not fear, God is with you. Obviously, this is something that we humans need to be reminded of a lot. So as I was writing this sermon, I sent a text message to a bunch of friends asking the question, "What do you fear?" And for a whole day, I got text after text in reply. People telling me their big fears and their little fears. I heard about, "I'm afraid of jellyfish," and "I'm afraid that my Christmas shopping won't be done in time." One young person told me that she always leaps from several feet away onto her bed because there might be an alligator under her bed. But I also heard the fear of being abused, the fear of losing loved ones, fear of loss of security and independence, fear of not being able to pay the bills. One person said that for her, fear is visceral and debilitating. Another that he finds it paralyzing and suffocating. Fear of pain, fear of death, fear of abandonment, of confrontation, of things we can't control. It was a little overwhelming. But it was also reassuring to know that I'm not alone. Fear is a common experience. In the face of all these things to fear, just the instruction, "Do not be afraid," seems ridiculous. Like we can just flip a switch and turn off our fears. In fact, in a culture that values strength and independence like ours, many people try to do just that, suppressing their fear, unwilling to show any vulnerability, unable to get close to anyone because what if they find out I'm a fearful person behind my tough exterior? Others of us hide from fear by drinking too much, by shopping too much, by immersing ourselves in movies and television so we don't have to deal with the actual hardships of people around us in the real world. But obviously, suppressing or hiding from our fears is not a very effective strategy. So what are we to do? Well, remember that the scriptural instruction, "Do not fear," rarely comes by itself. It is nearly always accompanied by an assurance of God's presence. "Do not be afraid, God is with you." So knowledge of the presence of God is the antidote to fear, according to Scripture. And this is borne out by experience. The people I know who have the least fear in their lives are the same ones who have the strongest sense of the closeness of God. And the moments in my life when I've been able to face difficult situations without fear have also been moments when I knew God was with me. However, this is not a magical formula that will make all your troubles disappear. I wish I could tell you that if you just had enough faith, nothing bad would ever happen to you. But that wasn't true even for Jesus, so it's obviously not true for us. Some of the things you fear are going to come to pass. Most of us will lose our parents during our lifetime. Most of us will experience pain and disease at some time. We will be alone. We will have financial difficulties, and every single one of us will die someday. So how do we live that instruction, "Do not be afraid, God is with you"? I think the key here has to do with practice. Writing from prison, Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there are two things we need to practice holding in our consciousness. In one hand, we cultivate and hold knowledge of ourselves, being willing to be present with our emotions, including fear, but holding them lightly. This is not me. It is something I am experiencing, but it is not who I am. Who I really am is a child of God, created in the image of God, and nothing can take that away from me, not loss or betrayal, not illness or pain, not mental debilitation, not even death. If we name those fears, take them out and look at them with openness and curiosity, get some perspective on them, talk about them, they have far less power over us than if we suppress them or hide from them. And what we can hold simultaneously in the other hand is knowledge of the love and presence of God. This works best when it is not just an intellectual exercise, but a real closeness. And how does one get close to God like that? Well, think about the difference between an aunt or uncle who lives in another state and a friend you have coffee with weekly and talk to on the phone every day. You may know perfectly well that your aunt loves you, and perhaps you exchange birthday cards and Christmas letters, and you visit her whenever you're driving through. But your relationship with your friend is much deeper. This friend knows you deeply with all your flaws and your ups and downs. Because you share so much of yourself with her, and you know without even thinking about it that she loves you and will always be there for you. We can have either of those relationships with God. If we think of God as someone kindly disposed towards us, but remote, and maybe we visit a few times a month, there isn't much depth to the relationship. If we want to be close, if we want the knowledge of the love of God to soak into us deeply, we need to find ways to practice the presence of God every day. I'll leave you with a few verses from Scripture to inspire you on this journey to freedom from fear. From Joshua 1:9, when Joshua has just lost Moses, his friend and mentor for many years. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. From John 14, as Jesus is talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, knowing that he is about to be betrayed, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." From Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And finally, from Romans chapter 8, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.